This is Marketplace. I'm Rima Khreis. We're going to turn our attention to climate change for a bit. There's news out today that greenhouse gas emissions rose 6% last year after a record decline in 2020. That's according to a preliminary estimate by the Rhodium Group. A lot of that was fueled by a rise in coal power and truck traffic as the economy bounced back. But the thing is, a good amount of emissions come from us, from our homes. I'm talking about the natural gas we use when we throw our clothes in the dryer or bake a cake or cook fettuccine Alfredo pasta. That kind of household energy accounts for 20% of emissions in this country. That's according to a National Academy of Sciences study. Meanwhile, housing these days is in short supply, nearly 4 million units short, according to Freddie Mac. So the question is, how do you build more houses without adding to the climate crisis? Matt Hoisch from KOTO in Telluride, Colorado, explains.
A crew is building homes on a hillside along a road in western Colorado. The spot will soon have 30 new affordable housing units. Delaney Young looks on from outside the construction area.
It's so satisfying to see this take shape.
Young is the mayor of Telluride, Colorado. The town, along with the local county, is developing the housing called Sunnyside, in part a reference to the abundant sunlight the south-facing hillside gets, also a nod to the rooftop solar that will make these homes net zero for carbon emissions.
We knew it would cost more money in the initial stages to do it in this manner, but it would have been irresponsible of us to not consider this simply because of its geographical location.
Telluride is an expensive place to live, with houses in the mountain resort town selling at about $2 million on average last year, according to Telluride Consulting, a local real estate analysis company. Sunnyside will offer rentals at below market rates for the workers supporting that resort economy. Lance McDonald, the town's program director, estimates development costs increased by about 6% to completely offset its greenhouse gas emissions, reaching net zero year over year.
Which means that the project will be generating the same amount of energy that it would use on an annual basis.
Essentially, the housing is still connected to the grid, but it also supplies energy from its solar panels. Given the housing shortage in the U.S. and the global climate crisis, net zero affordable housing sounds appealing. But how likely is it to take off more widely?
You don't necessarily save money by reducing carbon.
Kim Vermeer is a green building and sustainability consultant. Affordable housing, she says, actually uses green building practices more than market rate housing, in part because developers recognize they can reduce long-term operating costs by making the buildings energy efficient. But reducing carbon emissions can also sometimes come at a cost.
There is something of a disconnect, and especially when the push to decarbonize pushes us to electrify.
Replacing gas systems with electric ones, like heating and hot water, can help reduce greenhouse gas emissions. But in a lot of places, electricity costs more than gas. Lauren Bauman is the vice president at New Ecology, a nonprofit focused on sustainable development in low-income communities.
The last thing we want to do is burden affordable housing developers and owners and tenants with utility costs that they can't afford.
Ideally, Bauman says, adding renewable energy like solar can compensate for those higher costs. But sometimes, she says, that's not an option, either because developers don't have the money or the site doesn't get enough sunlight. Still, even without renewables, energy-efficient homes, Bauman adds, can help with higher costs. And they can help people adapt to climate change. That's especially important for low-income communities.
There's been a lot of research that's been done to show low-income populations just don't have as many options when it comes to dealing with these severe weather impacts. And so having the ability for their housing to stay habitable in the face of some of this extreme weather and climate challenge is also a really important piece.
Back in Telluride, Mayor Young says she hopes other communities can look to Sunnyside as inspiration for their own projects.
We want to all work together to not have to reinvent the wheel. If we have a project that works, if we have an idea that works, we want other people to be able to replicate it.
Sunnyside is set to open by summer 2022, just in time for sunny skies. In Telluride, I'm Matt Hoisch for Marketplace.